Psalm 23. Hear the word of the Lord. And it is a psalm of David, and it's headed, "The Lord is my shepherd," in my Bible. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Alan.
Well, you know that God has given you your life, but I wonder if you know why he gave it to you. Do you ever think about, why has God given me my life? And the Bible gives us a very clear answer to that important question. God gave me my life so that I would live it with him and for him. I wonder if that's true of you. Is that what you're doing every day? Living with God and for God. And how are you going with doing that? It's very easy to end up being confused and uncertain about what to do and how to do it. It's very easy for us to think, I'm not sure that I'm getting this right as I'm trying to live with God and for God. What we need is some kind of map, a framework, an outline that tells me this is what life with God and for God looks like. This is how I'm meant to do it. And that's what Psalm 23 gives us, an outline, a framework, a kind of a map that says, this is what life lived with God and for God looks like. This is how you do it. So what does Psalm 23 tell us about living with God and for God? The main thing that we learn from it is this. If I want to navigate my way through life rightly, if I want to know where I am and where I should be heading, if I want to know how to stay on track, then I need to see things in twos. There are sets of twins I need to be clear about and to hold on to. There are pairs of truths that I have to see and keep together. So what we're going to do as we look at this very short and for many people very well-known psalm is look at five twins, five sets of pairs, double truths that belong together. And the first of them is this. I need to know two things about God. The first is pretty obvious. It's in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. But according to this psalm, there's something else I need to know about God. And I wonder if you noticed what that is. As we read it, did you notice that at a certain point in this psalm, the focus, the subject, suddenly changes? So have a look at the first four verses, and think about this question. In verses 1 to 4, where are we? Where does the psalm place us? And the answer is, I guess you've seen it, we're outside, out in the open. We're in the pastures. We're beside the pools. We're in the valleys. But suddenly that changes. And in verse 6, at the end of the psalm, where are we? And we're no longer outside, we're inside, in the house of the Lord. And what this psalm wants us to learn is that the God who is our shepherd is also our host. I am not only his sheep, I am also his guest. Can you see that in verses 5 and 6? The shepherd who leads me and comes with me through the dark valleys is also a wonderful host who sets the table for me and brings me to live in his house. This is important because it reminds us of something that the Bible does when it teaches us about who God is. It uses many pictures, many ways of talking about what God is like, because one picture, one image, one metaphor, one analogy is not big enough. There isn't any word that's big enough to tell me everything about who God is and what he's like. And I need to make sure that I listen to everything the Bible has to tell me about God. It gives me a full, well-rounded understanding of who God is and therefore who we are in relation to God. And I have to be careful that I don't squash this flat and miss the richness of what the Bible wants me to know about God. We must not make the rich truth of the Bible one-dimensional, poor, and miss what it tells us about the wonder of God. So here is a psalm. It doesn't tell us anything like everything about God, but it does make two really important points, that he is my shepherd and he is my host. That's our first twin. The second twin is I need to know two things about God as my shepherd. And the third twin is I need to know two things about God as my host. So let's have a look at the double truths that I need to know about God as my shepherd. Have a look with me at verse 2. Having God as my shepherd means lying down. It means pastures. It means pools. It means the oasis. Can you see that that's what verse 2 is talking about? The shepherd takes me to the oasis where the pastures are green and the pools are quiet. And the result is I end up refreshed. Verse 3, he restores or refreshes my soul. But there's another truth about God as my shepherd. It not only means lying down, it also means walking. Can you see that in verse 4? It involves paths, verse 3. Paths of righteousness, or another way of saying that is the right paths. And some of those paths go through dark canyons. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, a dark canyon. And in dark canyons, sheep are in danger because predators lurk in dark canyons. But I will be protected, verse 4. I will not fear any evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. Why do they comfort me? Because that's what the shepherd uses to beat off the predators and protect his sheep. So, having the Lord as my shepherd means the oasis and the dark canyon. It means being refreshed and also being protected. It means being at peace, and it also means facing peril. And of course we will enjoy the quiet havens, the times at the oasis, but we will also face real hazards and dangers, and we must be careful that we don't fall for the lie that has often been taught in churches, not only now but for generations. The lie that says living with God will only involve the oasis, the pastures and the pools, the times of quiet and peace. And of course living with God won't involve going through dark canyons and facing predators and danger. And we have to be careful that we do not fall for that lie or listen to the siren song that offers us a way of deleting the canyons from our itinerary. A recipe for the Christian life that says what you can and should have is unbroken bliss. No trouble, no hurts, no darkness, no danger. Well, this psalm reminds us that the Bible does not offer such a life here. It does not have a recipe that will give you that life now. And if the shepherd who leads me beside the quiet waters also guides me along the path that goes through the canyon, then that's good enough for me. If he is going to stay with me all the way through the canyon, then I'm content to go with him. So I need to know two things about the way the Lord shepherds me. It involves the oasis, it involves the canyon. I also need to know two things about the way God is my host and has me as his guest. What does verse 5 tell me about God as a host? He pampers me. His hospitality is lavish. My cup overflows. being his guest is just as good as being his sheep, because as his guest too, I lack nothing, which is what verse 1 tells me. The old-fashioned language, I shall not want, is a bit misleading because it implies, if God is my shepherd, I'll never have any desires. What it means is, I shall not be in want. I will never lack anything as his sheep. And verse 5 says, I will never lack anything as his guest. Because he provides all of it. I don't have to bring anything. He sets the table. He anoints my head. He fills my cup to overflowing. And it all comes from his riches, not from my resources. He pampers me. And verse 6 tells me something else about him. He pursues me. English Bible translators are sometimes a little bit uncomfortable about saying things quite as directly and bluntly as the original languages of the Bible say them. What verse 6 actually says is that God's goodness and love will chase me. And I think the translators have decided that the idea of God chasing anybody is not quite dignified enough for God, so we better just say follow. That sounds okay for God to follow. But the word that's used actually means to chase, to pursue. What's that telling me? The point is simple. God is determined never to stop being good to us. He will never hold back from loving us to the max. Every day of my life, he intends not to leave me alone. He's going to fill my life with his goodness and his love. And that's meant to give me great confidence, because I live my life with God and for God in the presence of enemies. Did you notice that in verse 5? The enemies that the Bible calls the world, the flesh, and the devil. And what this psalm is telling me is that God is not going to leave me alone to face those enemies. He's not going to leave me exposed and vulnerable, because every day he will be hot on my heels, making sure that his goodness and love overwhelm everything that tries to bring me down. So I need to know two things about God as my shepherd. He takes me to the oasis. He comes with me through the canyon. I need to know two things about God as my host. He pampers me and he pursues me with goodness and love. There's a fourth set of twins that we need to learn from this psalm. I need to know two things about my life, because it has two stages. My life with God has two stages. It means travelling, verse 3 and verse 4, and it means dwelling, verse 6. It means travelling because in this life I'm on the move, making a journey, going somewhere, and the shepherd leads me, verse 2, and guides me, verse 3, as I'm making this journey, as I'm travelling. But the journey isn't meant to last forever. I won't always be on the move, because it's meant to lead me home. And that's what verse 6 tells me. At the end of the journey, I get to come home, to be where I belong. At last, travelling over and done with, home at last. While I'm travelling through this life, I get little previews of home, little foretastes when the shepherd takes me to the oasis and lets me lie down in the green pastures and beside the still pools. But these oasis times are not meant to be lasting or final. They are a great blessing on the journey, but I am meant to be at home with the Lord, my wonderful, generous host. So my life has two stages: travelling now, at home then. And in both stages of my life, I have God with me. When I head into the canyon, He is with me. Verse 4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Yes, it's true that He's with me in the oasis, refreshing me. And that's a wonderful gift. But He also stays with me in the darkness and the dangers of the canyon, protecting me. And that's almost too good for words. And then He is with me at the end of the journey, or rather, when at last I come home, I get to be with Him. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever, at home with Him. The long engagement will be over, and at last we will be together. The marathon will have been run, and the victory celebrations will be underway at last, and they will never end. One last set of twins before we finish with this psalm. I need to know that my life with God has two stages. I also need to know that my life with God needs two voices. As I live with God and for God, I need two voices. First of all, I need the voice of testimony. This is the voice where I speak about God. Could belonging to God possibly be any better than what this psalm tells me? It is heaps better, miles better than anything this world has on offer. To be taken to the oasis and to enjoy the pastures and the pools, to have Him leading me and chasing me with goodness and love, to have Him with me in the canyon, and getting to come home to him. Since God is that good and that great, I must tell everyone I can how good and great he is. The voice of testimony, speaking about him and saying what he's like and what he does and what he gives, that's a necessary part of my life. But I also need another voice. I should not only be speaking about God, I also need to speak to God. And since I know that he is this good and this great, I should be telling him how grateful I am to be loved by him with a love that is this good. Telling him of my confidence in him and my delight in him and my longing for him. And so in this psalm, David switches from speaking about God to speaking to God. And I wonder if you noticed when he changed voices, when he moved from speaking about God to speaking to him. Can you see it? It's in verse 4. For the first half of the psalm, God is he. He is this, he does that, he is here, and then suddenly God becomes you. And where does it happen? When David gets to the canyon. See, there's a problem with the oasis, with the green pastures and the quiet waters. The problem is this. The oasis is so good that we can end up being more satisfied with the gift than we are with the giver. Having more pleasure in what he gives us than in himself, the wonderful, generous giver. So canyons do us a big favour. When the chips are down, when I'm really up against it, when I'm facing the darkness and the dangers, what do I need most? At that point in my life, what matters most? You are with me. That's enough. Because if that's true, I can keep going through the canyon. If it isn't true, then all is lost, hopelessly lost. In the first Christmas of the Second World War, when the people in Britain were facing a future that was dark and threatening and very uncertain, and deeply troubled about what the war would mean for them and what it would cost them, the King made a radio broadcast to the people of Britain. And in his broadcast, he quoted this passage from a poem. I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand into the hand of God. That shall be better than light and safer than a known way. So if I get what this psalm is telling me, and I know it's right, I should be telling other people about this amazing God. But I should also be bursting to tell him what a wonderful privilege it is to belong to him, to get to live my life with him and for him. There are some other twins in this psalm, but five will do for now. You might like to look at it again afterwards and ask yourself, what have we missed? What are the other twins here? But let's remember where we've been. The psalm has taught us about five sets of twin truths that we need to hold together. We need to know two things about God. He's a shepherd and a host. We need to know two things about his shepherding. He takes us to the oasis and he brings us through the canyon. He gives us peace and refreshes us, and when we face peril, he protects us. We need to know two things about God's hospitality. He pampers us and he pursues us with goodness and love. We need to know that the life we live with God has two stages, travelling now and dwelling and being at home then. And we need to have two voices as we live with God, the voice of testimony to speak about his greatness and goodness, and the voice of praise as we speak with gratitude to him. But there's one last thing we cannot leave out. And that's the fact that we get to read this psalm with an extra layer of meaning that David didn't know. Because for us, this psalm has to start like this. The Lord Jesus is my shepherd. We have to read it hearing the words that Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. My life is lived with a shepherd who goes all the way down into darkness and death to protect me and make sure that I am his forever. Why wouldn't you want to live with him and for him? But if you aren't yet doing that, living with him and for him, if you don't know this wonderful shepherd and generous host, the best thing you will ever do is to turn to him and entrust your life to him. And there's no better time for doing that than now. And if you need to, ask somebody to help you to do it now. But if you are living with this wonderful Lord who is the shepherd and the host, how long is it since you last thanked him for the privilege of belonging to him, being his sheep, and his guest. How long is it since you last thanked him for the terrible price he paid for you to be his forever? Well, tonight's a good night for doing that too. And then it wouldn't be a bad idea to start every day that way. To speak with gratitude to this wonderful, good, great God.
Marvel at the sun.